You're listening to Serious Inquiries Only.
Hello and welcome to Serious Inquiries Only. This is episode 89 and I'm your host, Thomas Smith. So this episode is a bit late to the party, but it is in the spirit of the Me Too hashtag. In my humble opinion, I thought the Me Too hashtag was a very good attempt to bring awareness to a huge problem. And it's something that in a perfect world wouldn't need to exist. In a perfect world, we wouldn't have to have a whole bunch of victims of harassment and assault bear their pain for everybody to see and witness. That wouldn't have to happen. But we don't live in a perfect world. I think we live in a world where these things are overlooked and these things are played off and they're ignored and they're minimized, all of those things. And when you see so many reactions of, wow, I had no idea. You know, I can't help but wonder why people had no idea. But, I think that the answer is privilege, honestly. I think when you don't have to deal with something in society and in life, you just don't really notice it. You know, when I don't have to worry about, oh, what if I get hit on at work? How am I going to deal with that situation? How am I going to deal with the awkwardness of having to let someone down in an easy way? It just doesn't really apply as much to me. So I don't notice it until I listen. So in the spirit of listening, I with the help of Felicia Entwistle of Utah Outcast, check him out. Felicia reached out for anyone who might want to tell their story. And of course, it was actually all too easy to find A, people who this has happened to, and B, people who are willing to share, because I think they were encouraged by what was happening with the public movement. But at any rate, these stories, there are way more. I could do a weekly podcast on this, and I would never run out of stories of women who have been harassed or assaulted or made uncomfortable or anything. It's that prevalent, and it's something I want to try to bring awareness to. So in that spirit, here are three stories. They're pretty different. However, they do share a common thread I noticed of male entitlement. I think entitlement is the key to all three of these stories. But let's listen. Let's hear what they have to say. And just know, listeners, that this is just three of a zillion. Like, this is just, we grabbed three people who had three stories, each of whom could have told many more stories about their lives. This is a very tiny sample, but I wanted to try to put some real voices to the Me Too hashtag and try to bring some awareness to what is a very huge problem. So with that said, here we go. I'm joined now by Raven. Raven, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, and yourself?
Doing okay. Well, I mean, these are interesting circumstances. We are meeting online over, but I understand you've got, I suppose, one of many possible stories you could be telling. What can you share with us today?
Well, the story that I was interested in sharing with you was my story of being a security guard for a hospital and having to deal with certain coworkers who not only put me in a bit of harm's way, but they retaliated in some not so subtle ways, and the company didn't really do anything about them. And they ended up they didn't back me up at all, and ended up making it all a big mess, to say the least.
So take us to the beginning, if you don't mind. And by the way, thanks so much for coming on and sharing. I meant to say that and it slipped my mind, but thank you.
No worries. Thank you. I actually think it's really, really important to kind of get stories out there, because people just think, oh, it's just one or two incidents, mm-hmm. and, you know, it goes away. And it's not. It's something that just keeps happening. And I think it's, you know, a lot of that's because nobody thinks it happens that often.
Yeah.
About 10 years ago, and I know that seems like a long time, but this, it's still so ingrained in my head.
Yeah.
But about 10 years ago, I worked for a security company and I was assigned to a hospital for a night shift. And on night shift, I was the only woman on shift. And we had a lot of high testosterone males, to say the least.
Are you talking about your coworkers or people you
My
were...
coworkers.
Okay, coworkers, got it.
My coworkers especially. Yes, there was plenty of patients and visiting members of family that were also problematic because, you know, they see a woman wearing a Sam Brown and a uniform that almost mimics a police uniform in many aspects.
Mm-hmm.
And I would get, you know, saluted a lot and the, oh, yes, ma'am, you can arrest me, ma'am, kind of stuff, which was just so stupid. But yeah, I had coworkers who, it was a boys' club and I was the new girl walking in. So apparently I was fair game. I'm mixed. So I'm half black, half white, but I look apparently very Latina. So quite a few of my Latin coworkers would approach me, I guess, much like they would approach a Latin female. And I didn't respond to a lot of the kissy faces and the remarks that they would make. Or if they made a remark like, "Ooh, hey, girl, you're looking good today." Yeah, I'd kind of look at them like, dude, I'm in uniform. Mm-hmm. Just don't. Just please don't. He didn't take too well to being rejected. He got angry because I rejected him. I flat out told him was not interested, never would be interested. I don't date within the workplace. That's, you know, it's not appropriate, to say the least. It's not appropriate. And I had no interest in him. So, you know, it's like, okay, fine. If you want to play it that way, we'll just be coworkers. And I knew from the tone that he had in his voice that this was not going to be good. So after I applied for the position, I noticed his hostility picked up for some reason. And I can only assume it's because he knew I would now be kind of a rank above him in many ways. And he started giving me shit detail, basically. Every time we had somebody who needed a pickup at the morgue, I got assigned to go down there. Every time we needed a 5150, somebody who was not in a good mental state, babysat in the ER or handled, I was often the person who got assigned to go take care of those people. Even if it was like a 300-pound guy on coke and PCP, guess who got to babysit? 4'5", little me. Or I'm sorry, 5'4". Yeah, a little bit reversed. Anyways. I noticed I was getting a lot of the just details that most of my other coworkers really didn't like. And suddenly I was getting all of them.
Okay. So he was in, was he in a position of authority over you or?
Yes. So, yes. Okay. He was a lieutenant. I was basically a private, I guess you would consider my ranking, okay. But yeah, I was the bottom of the pile.
And so he started assigning you the very unfavorable calls.
Yes, absolutely the most unfavorable calls because my male coworkers did not like going into the morgue. They found it creepy and they didn't like the way it smelled. And most of them were really scared of dead bodies for some reason. The few times that he didn't send somebody down or the times that he was supposed to go down, we ended up having incidences happen. Like we had
zombies.
No. Oh, that would have been easy to take care of. No. I reported to HR after a while because I noticed I was just, you know, morgue and ER. And I didn't mind doing my job, but it was the types of calls that I was getting sent to. As the shortest person on staff and as a female on staff, it's like, shouldn't you be sending two of us if we have a violent person who's having a psychotic episode? It would make sense to send more than one person. And often he didn't send more than one person.
So it really felt like to you, it was like a backlash. Like he was definitely trying to punish you for rejecting him.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
You can only go on so many biohazard runs before you go, you know,
it's a pattern. Yeah.
just kind of, you know, maybe. you're taking this out on me, because I don't see the half a dozen other men on staff sitting out babysitting a guy while he's doing a biohazard cleanup. And we're talking medical biohazard cleanup, something you'd normally need a suit for.
In addition to just being obviously the wrong thing that's happening, it sounds like also there's a certain element of maybe he's unnecessarily putting your life in danger sometimes, right?
Yeah, most definitely. I caught more than enough details sitting out in the flu tent that I actually ended up getting sick. Because we had an outdoor flu tent. It was, I think it was near October, and really cold temperatures. And, you know, even with a jacket on, it was wet, it was cold, and I ended up getting a really bad bout of bronchitis from that.
So you said you reported him to HR. So what happened?
HR said that they would talk to him, and that's about all I heard. He didn't really change his attitude towards me. He would sometimes get a bit confrontational if we happened to pass, you know, walking by in the courtyards and that kind of stuff. And I had to remind him a couple of times that, hey, you want to talk to me? I'm not interested in talking to you. You think that we're alone, but I can tell you right now that there's cameras all the way around us. So if you try and start shit, there's video recording of all of it.
So did he do something that made you think he was going to, what did you think he was going to do, I guess, when you say that?
Well, the tone of his voice was one of those tones that as a woman, you get really sensitive when you hear it. It's that kind of almost a growl that, hey, you know, we need to talk. It's like, oh, I've heard this voice before, and this is not a good voice. And the fact that he tried to step very close into my personal space made me feel extremely uncomfortable. And I mean, he was not supposed to be anywhere near me.
Are you saying this is what he did in kind of in response to you reporting him?
Yes.
Okay. So you think there's some intimidation kind of thing?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. He thought that me being the only woman and only being about 5'4", I was going to be easy to intimidate, but I'm built like a brick shit house and I can hold my own. So I don't intimidate easily.
Gotcha.
When he got rejected, he just ramped up the kind of shit details we got. When I reported him to HR, that's when he started getting kind of gruff with me verbally and trying to meet me in almost dark corners of the hospital because we have grave shifts. So I think he was maybe monitoring my walking patterns just to see when he could accidentally cross my path and have a talk with me about what I said.
Was he ever able to have that talk, or did you just avoid him? Or
no, I told him that if he stepped up to me like that again, if he tried to talk to me when we weren't in the office, where there would be, you know, where there'd be other people around,
witnesses,
you know, I told him, look, if you want to talk, we can talk in the room, in the break room, in the office. You know, we can talk where there's other people around. Hell, we can even talk with our captain listening in. That's fine by me, but don't try and talk to me out here alone and think that that's going to go well.
Gotcha. He was trying to corner you kind of off the beaten path sort of thing where, I see what you're saying. So, where did it go from there? What ended up happening?
So at one point in time, I had applied for, the call center detail, and I think I had to serve 6 weeks before I could actually go in and do that. Finally got approved. And my captain made the approval for that. And he was gone for, I think, a couple of days on vacation. So when I went in to get trained, the lieutenant stepped in and went, oh, no, captain's not here. We can't train you right now. I'm like, you already approved this. He told me what day to come in. He told me, you know, what I'd be doing. You know, there's our other call center person here to teach me. So I don't see what the problem is. Well, you know, captain's not here and I'm in charge and I'm not comfortable with this. So yeah, you can't train today. And so he blocked me from being able to train for this position for the entirety of our captain being gone.
The same guy who's been doing this whole thing.
Same guy that I reported to HR, same guy who tried to corner me.
So this is further revenge that he was able to kind of extract on you.
Yes. Yes. And I reported it to HR again because I was really really not happy that this guy still had a position of power and that he was ramping it up. Basically, he was interfering with my ability to, you know, pass a test and get a better position.
Yeah.
With, you know, with more hours and better pay.
Mm-hmm.
And HR is like, well, do you have any like evidence? How are you going to have evidence of what he's saying?
Yeah.
Without wearing a wire at this point, he's making sure, you know, I'm keeping track of a lot of stuff that's going on, but he's making sure that what he's doing is just barely within regulation.
Right.
Kind of the culmination of not getting any sort of recompense, any sort of, because HR did nothing, because my company did nothing. At one point in time, I accidentally injured myself at work and had to go on to workers' comp for quite some time because it was a pretty bad injury. When I called in to my workplace, to the security firm, telling them, hey, I need some paperwork done and I need to be able to get cleared to come back to work. They went, oh yeah, well, we can't clear you on this paperwork because you've got to go see a doctor. I'm like, yeah, that's what I'm calling for. And so they gave me this big runaround and I finally just went, you know what? This job is not worth the amount of headache that I'm getting from it. I quit. And they're like, oh God, does this have anything to do with this person? And I'm like, I'm sorry. Why is that any part of your concern? They're like, well, we don't know if you're bringing a lawsuit or not, so we want to know. And I'm like, you're more worried about a lawsuit than actually taking care of the problem in the first place.
Right.
And my injury has nothing to do with this person or this whole thing. But if you were so worried about a lawsuit, if you were so worried about me taking legal action, why didn't you take care of this person in the first place?
So you got the impression that they knew what was going on, but didn't really want to do much about it. And they kind of made that leap when you talked about your injury. They just, interesting.
Yeah.
So was that it? Did you end up quitting?
Yeah, I ended up quitting because, well, actually they ended up, I guess, laying me off. Doing me a favor so I could collect unemployment. And they basically cited that I spent too much time out of work versus in work, which was kind of stupid. I spent time out of work because I caught bronchitis from being outside. I spent time out of work because I kept being put in situations where I'd be exposed to the most amount of germs. I spent a lot of time out of work because, you know, I injured myself. It felt so contrived and so pain in the ass.
And it puts you in such an uncomfortable position. I mean, I can't imagine like someone in a position of authority over you is trying to hit on you. It's like, oh great. If I reject this, what's going to happen? You know?
Yeah. And I thought, you know, just the polite rejections the first couple times around would be enough for them to, you know, okay, she's not interested. She'll walk, you know, I can walk away from this. And instead, you know, just got more aggressive and it's like, oh my God, please just, I just need this job.
Yeah.
I am not dating a coworker. I'm especially not going to date somebody who's in the chain of command.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause that's only going to look bad. Cause if I advance, it's because I slept my way to the top.
Right.
And
right,
if it goes sideways, it's, you know, fraternization. And since I was the least senior person there, I'd be the first one removed from duty.
Yeah, but it really puts you in just a no-win situation.
Very much so.
Well, thank you for sharing that. I'm sorry that that went that way.
Thank you for taking this hashtag so seriously and getting our stories out there because, like I said, it's one of those things where it really needs to be heard.
At least I can do. Thanks so much. My next guest would like to be anonymous, and I'm certainly going to honor that wish. So, anonymous, how are you doing tonight?
Hi, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm good. How are you?
Doing okay. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for being willing to share your story.
You're welcome.
With that said, why don't you launch into it?
Okay, so I'm anonymous, and I used to go to this gym, New York Sports Club, and the manager, he started to harass me, inviting me for a lunch, and I told him that I was seeing someone that I didn't want to go for lunch with nobody, and also, you know, I have a kid, and like, it was so embarrassing for me to, you know, for a guy that works at the gym, like, to invite me for a lunch in front of my kid, that was so, I felt so weird, like. But this gym was new for me. I used to go to the gym, you know, back home, not here in America. So it was my first gym in America, let's say.
Oh, okay.
And the thing is, every time that I would take the elevator, he would hear my voice, and he would take, you know, the stairs to meet me downstairs. And approach me and ask me, oh, so can you go today? I'm going to pay for you. You don't have to worry. And I was like, no, thank you. I would be nice. And I say, no, thank you. I'm not hungry. Because he would say, oh, you worked out, so you might be hungry. Like, let's just do a coffee, whatever. Let's go. And I'd say, no, thank you. I'm taking my son to the park. I don't want to go out with you. Thank you. I don't want to, you know, drink coffee with you.
How many times did this happen? Was this
four or five times. And then I got so, like, annoyed, like, so embarrassing, especially because a friend would come to me and, like, what, you know, the manager wanted with you because, you know, he's married and he has two kids. I was wait, he was the one who was inviting me for a lunch and I was just saying no. And I didn't know that he was married or whatever because he was inviting me for lunch. He was hitting on me, which, you know, made me more and more embarrassed because they would say, oh, look at this single mom flirting with the manager. People could say that about me because I'm the single mom and everybody knew that he was the married guy.
You would try to tell people and they would take it the other way as though you were hitting on him.
Yeah, and I called the customer servers, and I would tell them, oh, look, this is going on the gym. I'm very uncomfortable, and it needs to stop. I don't like this. I just want to, you know, to use the gym, you know, the daycare servers, and that's it. I just want to mind my business. I'm getting very uncomfortable. So the next day, I went to the gym, and he was, you know, with his arms, like, crossed, look at me, giving me, like, evil eyes because I made a complaint about him. Mm-hmm. Every time he would hear my voice, he would go out to look at me, you know, to be like, hey, how are you? Like, I was a guy, you know, like, he was confronting me. It was very annoying. I wouldn't say anything, even hi. You were wrong here, like, you know, you did something wrong. That's why I made a complaint about you. So a month later, I went to the gym on Saturday. And it was like a different babysitter because usually it's the same babysitter that I used to go that takes care of the kids. Mm-hmm. This girl, she was eating, talked to the front desk, and she left like four kids by themselves at the daycare. And the kids were like very small. And I got worried to, you know, to drop off my kid and go work out because like she wasn't watching the kids. So I left the gym. And Monday, I spoke with the manager and I told him, look, that what happened, she needs to be in the daycare. She can't, you know, leave the daycare to, you know, to have a lunch and talk to the front desk because they're small. And if something happened, like, it's like a big zoo that you guys are going to have. He said, so you don't want to go out with me. But you want me to you know, to take care of some kind of shit that you are having here at the gym? Like, it's not something that I'm having in the gym. It's some problem that you guys have. The girl, she was outside of daycare. It doesn't have nothing to do with the fact that I don't want to go out with you. Yeah, but you made a complaint about me. So I'm not, you know, a good manager because I was just being nice, inviting you for lunch. And now do you think like I'm a good manager to, you know, I was like, you know what, whatever, forget it. I called customer service again and I made another complaint. This happened and nothing happened. Like 1 week later, he, you know, was pick up my son And he came to me, oh, can you talk to my office? I worked out in that gym about like 2-3 months. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, what happened? And he goes, I think it's not working out for us to have you here in this gym. So it's some old guys and some moms are complaining the way you dress yourself here. I was like, what's wrong with the way I dress myself? It's like pants and tank tops like everybody else. And also I have like all the pictures on my Instagram because I used to take pictures, you know, mm-hmm. I used to do like the selfies, the gym selfies. And yeah, but you know, I'm gonna cancel your membership. I don't want you working out in this gym anymore. That's it. And I was like, how come? There is nothing wrong with my clothes. I think you just make some excuse because I made a complaint about you. That's it. So I left. I talked to the business director. I called them like, oh my God, like 100 times. I recorded everything. And the business director was like, oh my God, it's absurd. You know, it can't happen, isn't that? But you know, in the end, he did nothing for me and I was paying the gym. I couldn't use, you know, the gym. 2 months later, because I was calling them like almost every day because, hey, I'm paying. I need to go to the gym. Like I really need this because everybody has, you know, the thing that they use as a therapy. It's not only because I like to go to the gym, but because like I have like a condition, a COS, and I need to go to the gym. Like my doctor said that I need to go to the gym. Because I have a condition that, you know, and then if I do, you know, activities, it can help me, you know, it can help me.
He tried to kick you out just for saying that the way you were dressing wasn't appropriate?
Yeah, he did. Oh, okay. I can't go back. I can't.
Oh, wow.
And the thing is, after that, you know, I put on Yelp, Facebook, Instagram and everything. And another gym in the neighborhood because I need a gym with daycare. And there is another gym that say, you can't work out here. They kicked me out too because I don't want to be the media like you did to another gym. So I just can't work out at all because, you know, it's New York City. I can't like move to another neighborhood because I want to work out.
He was able to get you banned from another gym too?
I guess he probably called. I put on internet. So, you know, the owner, he told me. He was very rude, actually. He was like, I don't want you to work out in my gym because I don't want to be the media like you did to, you know, New York Sports Club.
Oh, okay.
So basically, like, I just can't. Like, and why? Just because I just didn't want to go, you know, for a lunch with the manager.
Yeah.
It's like, it's really upset. Like, it really upsets me, like. Everybody has their thing that they use like to relieve their stress. And the thing that I like to do is just work out. Like it's something healthy and actually that I need for my healthy. And I just can't do it here. I just because I didn't want to go out with a guy.
Yeah.
How crazy it is. Yeah. Like with a married guy inviting me for a lunch.
Yeah. Wow.
So I was talking to, you know, to my friends. About this situation. And then a guy that works out at the same gym, New York Sports Club, I was like, oh, wait. So you're the girl that was kicked out from the, you know, New York Sports Club. I was like, oh, I guess. Mm-hmm. So he was like, oh, you know that you're not the first one. I was like, oh, I know that, you know, that happened before, but he didn't kick it out, you know, the other girls. I'm pretty sure because he was like, oh, you know, this girl, she's a, you know, immigrant. She can't speak English. So do you think she's going to sue us, you know? And then he told me that he was harassing an employee. And the employee told him, you know, that the same was going on with her. And she told, you know, the business director, who was like, oh, look, this is happening here. And if you don't do something about it, you know, and I'm going to sue you. I'm going to sue the company. So they promoted her. So I like this guy, he's getting away with, you know, he's harassing girls at the gym and he's getting away with it.
Yeah.
crazy. Like, I just don't get it, like how they just can't cover him.
Yeah, you know? That's so frustrating. And I can totally understand. I mean, two gyms, not even one, but two that you're not allowed to go to.
Like, no, they want to, oh, you know, if you don't want to go out with me, so see that I'm gonna, you know, I'm gonna try to make your life like a bit of hell. I can't speak the language like properly. I have problems, as you can see, to, you know, to express myself. Mm-hmm. I know that I make some mistakes. I'm doing my best, but, you know, it's still, and I don't have like my family or, you know, friends to help me out, you know, to take care of my son or to point it out, oh, look, you can go to this place or that place to mm-hmm. solve your problem. And I had to call, you know, a lot of office and try to explain what happened to me with my English, especially because yeah. that happened last year. It was worse, you know, my English. So it's frustrating. And yeah. at the same time, I don't have too much time to look for help, like, you know, yeah. for a lawyer, this and that, because as I told you, like, I'm a single mom, like, I have to do a lot of things. So yeah. It's hard. I feel like helpless because there's nothing I can do about it. And like, sometimes because the gym, it's basically on my corner. So sometimes I see him and he gives me some looks, like, he laughs, you know.
Oh, just on the street, you're saying? Like, just outside?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just outside. And I have to look at the ground, on the ground, because what can I do? He won, you know. And he's going to do that again. It's not going to stop like he did with me. Another guy, you know, when I put on internet, another guy came talk to me and he said, oh, he was harassing my ex-girlfriend too. Oh, and then. Wow. That happened to an employee at the gym, and it might happen before.
Yeah,
and getting away with it, you know, I'm sure that, you know, the girls, they might be embarrassed because, oh, you know, maybe I'm showing a lot at the gym, because that's what he wants to make me feel like, embarrassed of myself, like, oh, you know, you're showing off at the gym, so that's why I was hitting on you. You know, because then he said that he was kicking me out because of my clothes.
That's obviously just bullshit. But like, even if it weren't, wouldn't you just say, okay, can't I wear something different?
Exactly.
You know, like, why would he kick you out for that?
Exactly.
It's obviously just him abusing his power.
Exactly. No, I agree. Like, if I was doing something wrong, he just could, you know, come to me and be like, oh, look, you know, this is something that it's not appropriate in the gym or in this country or whatever, you know, mm-hmm. but it wasn't like,
but you're dressed, know, like everybody else, basically.
Yeah. Like, I used to put, you know, to post, you know, my pictures, and I still have it, you know, on my Instagram. It's like, you know, everybody else, you know, yeah. I saw a lot of girls, you know, dressing like, you know, wearing just shorts and, you know, tops.
Yeah. Yeah. That just makes me sick. I'm sorry this happened to you. I really don't know what else to say, but thank you for sharing your story. I wish you luck. I hope there's some way, you know, if, I don't know if you're going to go a legal route, but I do really hope that there's some way you're able to get through and just get back to your routine, you know, just get back to being able to go about your business. 'Cause that's all you wanted to do, is just kind of live your life and work out, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And, you know, if mom is happy, my son is happy too. If he sees mm-hmm. that mom is unhappy, it's not only affecting me mm-hmm. and my health, but it's affecting my son's life too.
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming on the show. Thanks for sharing. I wish you luck, and I hope you can get it resolved.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Thomas, for inviting me for the show. Thank you.
I'm joined now by Tiffany. Tiffany, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing okay. Doing better than most. I'm doing all right.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, girl. Thank you so much for being willing to share.
I'm seeing the same stories over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And one thing that got me was, why don't people, the guys who defend these dudes, they're like, well, why don't the women speak up? Why don't they speak up? Well, because reactions like the ones I saw.
What are the kind of reactions you saw?
Oh, like, oh, why don't they talk? Why don't, if it's so bad, why don't they talk? Why do they want money You know, why settle? If you were sexually assaulted, why do you settle? Yeah, why don't you just sue him? Why didn't you tell anybody when it happened? That sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's victim blaming.
Right, right, right.
It's victim blaming in its purest form.
And I saw, for example, I had someone, I want this, of course, to be about your story, but since you said that, I just remembered I had somebody comment on my thread saying, with a picture of like four or six of the Weinstein victims later mm-hmm. on interacting with Weinstein, like, oh, they're such victims. You know, if you can find a good picture that they had, like maybe where they were in public and were smiling or something like that, somehow they haven't been victims. So I think that's the kind of thing that you might be talking about, where it's like finding every way to try to defend somebody who, by the way, you don't even know. Like, why are they defending someone who's clearly a creep that they don't even know? That, but anyway, let's talk about your story.
Because it's the idea, I think.
Yeah.
It's the idea of Harvey Weinstein and why he did what he did.
Yeah. And sometimes it's creepy. Like, what? Why are you so defensive about someone else's, you know, like what they did? What does that tell us about you?
Do they think it's like a get out of jail free card?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If they defend it. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. I didn't want to make this about a post that I had on my stupid Facebook. I wanted to hear your story. So feel free to go ahead and start telling us one of what I'm assuming is several stories you could tell.
Oh, yeah. I mean, first of all, for example, in high school, I was a very heavy-chested young lady, and high school was torture for me because the boys thought, hey, she's developing faster than the other girls. That means I get to touch her, you know. And that was 4 years of just avoiding boys' hands, you know. And I told the principal and I told the teachers, and they didn't do anything about it. And I went through this really depressive phase where I wouldn't shower, you know. I wore dirty clothes. I just, because I didn't want to be looked at. It was my fault. And I grew up because nobody told me it wasn't my fault. You know what I mean?
Oh, I see. So at that age, you had felt like it was your fault. Yeah. So you were trying to.
Yeah, this was the 90s. And so it's your fault. If your tits didn't stick out, then the boys wouldn't touch them. You know, that's the idea.
I'm not really sure what you're supposed to do about that.
Exactly. You know, and here I am 20 years later going, this is what I wasn't seeing. And so I think kids need to learn about bodily autonomy, consent, you know, because I wasn't taught that stuff back in the 90s. And it caused a lot of I don't want to say acceptance, but you didn't complain. It was just something you just didn't talk about. Like, I had part-time jobs in restaurants and the guys would touch all the waitresses' asses and things like that. And it was just like something you just had to deal with. It was something you had to deal with.
Yeah, especially in that situation where it's like
the service industry. Customer service.
Yeah, exactly.
Worst. Yeah. Like, I have a professional job right now, and I don't have any sexual harassment issues there because they're taught, you know, they're training. There's discussions about this sort of thing. It's not tolerated. And it's very comfortable where I work. 10, 15 years ago, forget about it.
Yeah. Well, that's good. So you feel like the training has made an impact, at least where you are.
I think a lot of it has to do with education and the maturity level. So when you're in the service industry, not to discount anybody in the service industry, but you're not taught about autonomy, about consent. You know, you're just like, hey, this is what boys are supposed to do. And hey, you're a girl. You just have to deal with it, especially if it's your boss.
Yeah.
My specific story, I was at the time working, excuse me, in the service industry, and I had a boyfriend that I had been, and see, this is what made it difficult, because this guy was my boyfriend. Okay. He was my boyfriend, and I was preparing to move overseas. It was a dream of mine to get a job overseas, to live there, to work there, and to experience another culture. And I got that. So for months and months and months while I, you know, quit my old job to prepare to move. He was so supportive. Oh, I'm so happy for you. But those things started getting darker and darker as the time went on. And he's like, yeah, this is your dream. I want to support you. I want to support you. Right. So I was working as a waitress, and I used to visit him after work. And I went to visit him like always. And this was the week before I was leaving. So it was almost time to go. And he basically, you know, we had had sex that night, like regular. And then I was ready to go home. I'm like, all right, I'm leaving. He's like, oh, you're leaving again. I'm like, well, you know what I mean. I'm leaving to go home. And he got angry with me. And basically, I wasn't allowed to leave.
Wow. Like physically, and he stopped you?
Yeah. Yeah, physically he stopped me and he sexually assaulted me. He raped me. All right. And the thing about it was we had had sex previously that night.
Yeah.
Right. And so as I was leaving, I was like, oh, he was just angry. I don't know what I did. I had sex with him already. It's not like he raped me. I'm like, well, yes. Yes, it was because I did not consent to that session. You sexually assaulted me because you were jealous. You were losing your power over me because I was leaving. I was making my dreams come true. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, I do. Of course.
It wasn't about the sex. It was about, I can't control this woman. The only thing I can do to control this woman is to assault her sexually.
Yeah, there's definitely a theme of entitlement in the stories I've heard so far.
That's the word, entitlement. So he felt because he was already my boyfriend, he was entitled to take that autonomy away from me. He tried to make it so that I knew that no matter what kind of dream I had, that's all I was to him.
Hmm.
And any woman out there who is like, I don't know, was it rape or not? We had sex that night. He's my boyfriend. He hugged me afterwards. No, no, sweetheart, it's still rape, okay? It has nothing to do with your relationship. It had nothing to do with how he feels about you. You were just an object to him. And that's one thing I noticed in the Me Too tags. A lot of women were saying the same things.
Yeah, yeah. Can I ask, how did you react at the time? What did you do at the time?
At the time, I thought it was my fault.
Mm.
I wasn't even sure. I didn't even want to classify it as rape because I thought that rape was just something. See, and this is an old attitude, that rape was just something that happened like in a parking garage.
Yeah.
With a guy sneaks up behind you with a knife. No, that's not how it goes. I grew up thinking that rape happened to women who weren't careful. Rape happened to women who wandered around by themselves. You know, most rapes happen with people that you already know.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like someone's jumping out the damn bushes that pull you down. That doesn't happen. That's a fantasy. And that's something that a lot of women need to get out of their head or it's never going to stop. It's somebody that you might trust. And that's what makes it hurt even worse. It took me years to even admit to myself, no, Tiffany, you weren't being weak. You weren't being a victim. You know, someone use their physical strength to try to tear you down because they were jealous that of what you were doing with your life that didn't involve them.
Can I ask, do you think that this person has any idea what he did?
He probably doesn't. I know. I don't think he does.
Yeah,
to be honest,
curious.
I don't think he even considered it.
Hmm.
And I think, I haven't spoken to him in decades.
Right.
But I think if I did, he'd be like, wait, what? Did I? I'm like, yeah, you did. I didn't want that, but we had sex that night. That doesn't matter. You know, that first act I consented to, we had sex plenty of times, but that time that was not the same. And you thought you might've been being rough. I was saying, no, I don't want to, I need to go. Oh no, I'll just keep you here and do. No, that is not what people who are in an affectionate relationship do to each other. And that's one thing I want other women to understand. He may be your boyfriend. He may be your husband. But if he doesn't respect your autonomy, he's raping you, period.
Yeah.
People think the R word is so dramatic, but it's really not. If we stop seeing it as this terrible dramatic word, then it's never going to stop. And people need to be taught that. That's what I think. It took years for me to realize what had happened to me.
Yeah. So you mean, I mean, I think it is a pretty dramatic thing. Do you just mean if people keep seeing it as this stereotypical person in the bushes scenario?
Well, and then nowadays, one thing that worries me is that as people start to understand what exactly rape is and what it's about, people are going to just start calling everything rape. And then you'll get like the MRAs going, oh, I looked at her funny. I must have raped her, you know, and then you declassify it, delegitimize it. And that's another thing that worries me. Is delegitimizing the word rape, the act of rape, making it seem like, oh, you're just being a drama queen.
Yeah. Well, it seems to me, tell me what you think about this, but it seems like it's a overreaction to this bit of, well, I don't want to call it privilege exactly, but previously it's as though people were able to get away with stuff. And then eventually, and it's embarrassing how long it took for this country to realize things like marital rape were possible. You know, like,
yes,
it took a very long time. So it's like an overreaction to that. Yeah. And it took so it's like, oh, what's next? You know, like,
exactly.
What's the next thing? And I think that it's such an obvious overreaction when really, I mean, just it's doing sexual things to a person without their consent. Like, it's pretty simple.
People don't like to, it's a privilege. It's, if they think that somebody else is getting equality, that they're losing it. You know what I mean? When it comes to women, it's like, oh, what's next? You know, I can't look at a woman now. It's the same thing, I think.
So can I ask, when do you remember or have any clear idea of when you kind of realized what this was? Because it sounds like at first you might have played it off to yourself a little bit.
Yes, I did. I definitely played it off to myself. And I remember when I got home that night and I took a shower and I scrubbed myself. I stayed in the shower way longer than I usually did. And I'm like, why does this feel so bad to me? It's not like we never had sex before. Why am I trying to scrub this feeling away? Yeah, because I blame myself. I thought it was all my fault. I'm like, well, maybe I shouldn't have gone over there. I made him angry. And that's what that was. You know, I was young. I didn't know better. And I think that's what it is. It's people who don't understand what exactly sexual assault is.
Yeah.
And you just blame yourself. It's my fault. I shouldn't have been there. I shouldn't have made him angry. And so I guess as I got older, and I read more about it, and I read other people's stories. That's why I'm telling you mine. You know, then I realized, holy shit, he raped me. And here I am. I thought I was, because first of all, I'm a student, I graduate, you know, that sort of thing. I'm intelligent. I was a teacher. How could this happen to me? Because you have that idea that all rape just happens to floozies that walk down the street by themselves. No, it could be anybody.
Yeah, that the definitely that sort of cartoonish idea of what it is.
Oh, absolutely.
Makes people
that's the perfect word for it, man. Cartoonish. No, you're right, because it's a caricature of femininity. It's a caricature of masculinity. Like one of those old Tex Avery cartoons where the wolf's eyes pop out of his head because he sees a pretty girl. That's not how sexuality is supposed to be. It's just natural. It's just something that guys do. No, it's not. And I think men would benefit from this too. If they learn that you don't have to use your penis to put your power over somebody.
Well, I think that definitely education is the key. And it does sound like from where you started this conversation, when you mentioned your work, it does sound like that can make a difference, at least.
Oh, yes.
In that way. So
I want to say to any woman who has a doubt that maybe what happened wasn't what I thought it was, sit down and ask yourself, you know, did I feel a real connection with this person when we were having sex? Or did it feel like I wasn't a part of it? I was just letting it happen to me. Is he doing it because of something I did? No, you should never ask yourself that. If he loves you and if he's your boyfriend, your partner, then he would respect your autonomy. He doesn't see you as a person. He's probably sexually assaulting you.
Yeah. And I would add, of course, you know, anybody needs to respect autonomy, not just a boyfriend. I mean, of course, any casual,
absolutely.
Just anything. I mean, that's key. I really think teaching consent.
Yes. Is my key. Goodness.
But yeah, thank you so much for sharing. I definitely... I do hope sharing these stories and just bringing education awareness to it will make a difference. That's the only thing we can hope.
And one more thing, do not be ashamed. Hmm. Don't be ashamed. It's not your fault. Okay. That's another thing. Shame is a great tool for rapists.
Hmm. Yeah.
Don't be ashamed. It's not your fault. It's his fault.
Truly, thanks for sharing your story. It really,
not a problem.
I really hope it can make some difference. And I'm glad that it seems as though some of those attitudes and some of that maybe denial or whatever, I'm glad that's something you overcame. And it sounds like you've made a healthy recovery on it. So thanks so much for sharing.
Go ahead. It was not overnight.
Yeah.
It does not happen overnight, sweetheart. That's all I have to say.
Yeah.
Not you, sweetheart. Any sweethearts out there listening.
All right. Well, Tiffany, if people would like to hear more of you, I hear that they definitely can. So if you want to throw out your plugs, please feel free.
Oh, sure. I haunt Angry Black Rant once in a while. You'll see if you'll hear me on there. I am also on a YouTube show called The Road to Reason. It's a skeptic's guide to the 21st century. And we talk about, atheism, logic, reason. It's a great show. And my Twitter is the TH Bandit. And that's it.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Don't do much.
Definitely check those out, everybody. And thanks for sharing.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, no problem. I want to thank again all three of my guests for coming on and sharing their stories. I know that can't have been easy, but I really appreciate it. And I can only hope it will make a difference. And I also want to say, if you're someone who has been a victim of something like this and didn't want to share and didn't want to type up your whole story for a hashtag, I very much respect that. And I don't at all mean to suggest that you ever owe your pain to anyone else. You don't owe anything to anybody. If whatever is best for you, As a victim of this kind of thing, please do so. But I just want to thank the three women who are willing to come on the show. And I want to thank everyone who shared on the Me Too hashtag. I really do think it will make a difference. And it at least takes away this plausible deniability of anyone who is somehow unaware of this problem. Because there's no more excuse for being unaware that this goes on. It seems to me that what is really needed is to teach people about consent, is to teach men that they are not entitled to women. Because I won't speak for my guests, but if I were to just guess, just to take a guess from speaking to them and hearing their stories, for all three of them, if the perpetrators of what happened had taken no for an answer, the first no, had just, no, thank you, I'm not interested, had taken that no for an answer, I don't think it would even be a story. I have to imagine that it wouldn't even make it in memory, really, because that's not the thing. This overreaction of, oh, what's next? I can't hit on anyone, or I can't be attracted to anyone, or I can't try to have sex with anyone. No, but there is a very real problem of not taking no for an answer. And by the way, there are also times when it is very inappropriate to hit on someone. But at the very least, if nothing else, if we could teach men to take no for an answer, that would be a huge step up. So to my fellow men, and of course everyone, no means no. Consent is vital. I used to be surprised when I would hear stories of some guy I know who, was weird. He's never been weird to me, but he was weird to you, female friend, huh? The first one or two times that was surprising. But very quickly you realize it's not surprising. It's commonplace. Stop being surprised when you hear these stories and start listening. That's what I think. So thank you so much to my guests. Thank you again to Felicia Entwistle for helping set this up. And I will see you guys on Thursday.